Good morning, church. Welcome home. I hope the Tenasket Free Methodist Church is a place that you can call home. And I know that we're all in our homes this morning. You're together with your family. And my prayer for us today is that we would all make our home with Jesus this morning. Hey, today is Palm Sunday, this day where we traditionally in the church where we retrace the steps of Jesus as he goes to the cross. The last week of his life where he goes to the cross, where they laid down palm branches and they sang Hosanna, Hosanna. And so we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But I want to welcome you here with us today. You know, for the next 4 weeks, I'm preaching a sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. We're going to look at scripture and how people encounter Jesus, but I don't really want to tell you how to encounter Jesus, because I believe that the Word of God is living and active, and when you read the Word of God, you will encounter Jesus. The Bible also says that when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And so the question is not, am I going to encounter Jesus? You will. And though the question then remains to be answered is, what will I do when I encounter Jesus? How will I respond when I encounter Jesus? Will I obediently follow Jesus when I encounter him? You know, I believe that the most important thing a person can ever do in their lives is make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And so that'll be my prayer for you today. And as we move forward next Sunday into the hope of the resurrection, that many make their home in Jesus. You know, in the passage that was read today, there are three groups of people that are represented. There's some people who were really mad and upset with Jesus, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, they're really mad at Jesus because Jesus was just messing up their church, messing up their religion. And then there were some who were mad at Jesus because he was messing with their business. And then there were some who were totally excited about Jesus, who were saying that he was their savior, their Messiah. Then there was another crowd that we learned about in verse 10 that had a question. They said, who is this? In other words, who is this man? And that's a question that we all have to answer in this life. Because Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, he said, if you seek to cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you make your life at home with me, you'll find your life. And so today I hope that we make our home in Jesus. Hey, I was just reading this scripture this week and there were some things that stood out to me, and I just wanted to share a few of those with you today. The first thing, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, and when we encounter Jesus, Jesus does a few things in our lives. Number one, Jesus changes my wrong thinking. You know, in the first few verses here in scripture, if you have your Bibles open, it says that Jesus went into the city. He goes into the city on this donkey, on this humble animal. In fact, that was a common practice for kings. After coming back from a battle or from something significant, they would ride into the city on a donkey, which a donkey meant peace. And we know from scriptures that Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. He's fulfilling prophecy there. So Jesus came in peace. That was his intention. Some kings rode into the city on a horse, on a stallion, to let the people know that they were totally in control, and they weren't probably there necessarily for peace. And so Jesus gives this amazing visual of him as this king. Now, for a long time, Jesus had been telling his disciples, hey, be quiet. Don't tell anyone about me just yet. My time has not yet come. But on this day, when Jesus enters into the city, he lets people say, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now. And they put palm branches out on the road, which was common for to signify victory. They did all this, and he doesn't shut the people up. He just lets them go about doing this. We'll see here in just a minute, after Jesus enters into the city, he goes straight to the temple. And at the temple, there are some people that meet him there. There's the blind and the lame, and Jesus meets them. And they probably have some wrong thoughts about themselves. I don't know if they felt insignificant because of their disability, but maybe they had some the same question or some wrong thoughts about who this man Jesus is, like some of us today. You know, we're all prone to wrong thoughts about God. We're all prone to have some wrong expectations of who Jesus is or what he will do for me. In fact, in scripture, there's this story about how Jesus was talking with his disciples one day, and Jesus was telling them all about how he would have to die. And Peter was standing right there, and Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, never. That's not going to happen to you." He tried to talk Jesus out of it. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Peter, you're not setting your mind on things above. You only have your mind on the things of men." You know, we're so prone to wrong thinking when we have our mind set on the opinions of men. And according to Jesus, Jesus is truth. He says in John 8:32, he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When we know the truth of just who God is, the Bible says that we're free. We're not bound anymore. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." He'll make your crooked thinking even straight. He'll correct your thoughts just about who this Messiah is. And so my question to you today is this: have you had some wrong thoughts just about who Jesus is? And do you need Jesus to change those thoughts into right thoughts about who he is as the Savior of the world and the King of Kings? What are my wrong thoughts that I need Jesus to change? The second thing this morning is that when Jesus comes into the city, he provides for me, but he also corrects my wrong practices. You know, the scripture tells us in those first few verses that when Jesus came, he came on this donkey, and Jesus said to these disciples, he said, "Hey, when you get into the city, you'll find a donkey. You'll see it tied up and with a colt next to her. I want you to untie that donkey and bring that donkey to me." And so I'm sure that was strange to the disciples that Jesus was asking for this donkey. And Jesus also said, "Hey, if anyone asks you what you're doing with this donkey or why you're taking the donkey, just say the master needs it." So as strange as it was, Jesus tells them to do this. So let's go on a little trip. Let's go on a little journey and let's go find a donkey. Come on, let's go. This is crazy, but I think one thing that we have to know and remember, friends, is that whenever God calls us to do something, he's going to supply what we need. So let's go. As I said, Jesus calls us sometimes to do strange things. And I'm sure the disciples thought it's strange to go and take someone's donkey. But you can be assured of this, friends, that whenever Jesus calls you to do something, he will always equip you and he will always supply your needs. Now, some of you are saying, "Well, wait a minute. I've prayed that God would have me win the lottery and I would get $1 million. Well, is that God's will for your life? And how I would answer that is in Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose." So the question is that God's purpose for your life? He knows what's good for you. And so Jesus always provides, even when it comes to a donkey. Not only does Jesus provide when you encounter him, but he also confronts our wrong practices. After Jesus went into the city on a donkey, the first thing he did, he went to the temple. And that was a common thing for dignitaries to go to, where people would be there offering gifts and sacrifices. But as Jesus enters the temple, the scripture tells us this in Matthew 21, verse 12, it says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. It is written, he said to them. Oh, he wants me to pet you. It is written. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of thieves. You know, I don't know if you just saw what happened there, but Jesus enters into the city, and, you know, Jesus did not set up any kind of political debate there when he entered into the city. He didn't set up any kind of press conference. Jesus enters into the temple, and he confronts wrong practices. And to say, you know what, I have not come for political purposes. I've come for a spiritual purpose. And so he calls them out. He said there were those who were buying and selling animals. And this was a common practice for people buying animals for their sacrifices, to have forgiveness for their sins. But the problem was that people were charging just this exuberant amount for these sacrifices. Can you believe that? For the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus says, this is not right, and he is ticked off about that. So ticked off, he's got a whip, and he's turning over tables. I've come not for political purposes. I've come to set hearts right spiritually. Not only that, but they were selling these sacrifices in what is called the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles was this place in the temple where unbelievers could come, and they would hear the truth about God's word. And because of this wrong practice that was going on and selling these sacrifices for so much money, it was actually driving unbelievers away from God's church. And I wondered about that in some of our churches in our time. I wonder how some of our wrong practices in our own lives actually turn people away from God rather than bring people towards God. And so he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves or a den of robbers. You know, a den is where thieves hang out. They hide. And how often that is true also in churches. We have people all the time that come to church, and rather than asking Jesus and encountering Jesus and asking him to change their wrong practices or their wrong way of living, you can just go on ahead. They hide out from Jesus. They hide from God, and they use the church to run from God. They use the church as a cover-up, as if their life is okay. And so Jesus says, you've made it into this, but my house is a house of prayer. You know, some of us may think, well, that's not very nice of Jesus to confront these wrong practices in my life. I should be able to do what I want to do. But, oh, friends, this is the graciousness of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He purifies us. And he makes us obedient to Jesus Christ. And so my question to you this morning is, have I focused on the wrong things in my life? The first question was, do I have wrong thoughts about Jesus? And now, have I focused on the wrong things? Because when Jesus goes into the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were there. And they were so mad that Jesus was confronting their wrong practices. They wanted a king that would enhance their lives politically. They wanted a king that would make them obey these strict spiritual laws that they thought brought them closer to God. Some of us actually think that by having a strict set of spiritual disciplines actually win God's heart for us. Some of us actually think having strict spiritual practices of prayer and fasting and different things actually make God love us more and define us as a follower of Jesus. Now, friends, We don't need to buy God's love. God loves us for who we are right here and right now. Is it good to read the Bible? Absolutely. Because we need Jesus to confront our wrong thinking. We need Jesus to confront our wrong practices. Is it good to pray? Absolutely. Because we need to have Jesus change our thoughts. We need to set our minds on things above. But don't think like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were mad at Jesus and thought that their practices bring them closer to God. No, salvation comes by faith alone. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The third and final thing this morning I want to say is that when Jesus comes into the city and when you encounter Jesus, he transforms and he heals. Look at verse 14. When the blind and the lame came to them, they had their thoughts all changed. In fact, they had their whole lives changed. Jesus actually heals them, it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says this, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Friends, the question is not, will I encounter Jesus? Because you will, as you seek him with all your heart. But the question is, am I willing to have Jesus transform my life? That is the question for us today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I pray for those of us today who need our wrong thinking changed, who need Jesus to transform our wrong practices. I pray that we would have willing spirits to allow him to do that. And Lord, I pray for those who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they would make that commitment today. God, I pray that we would think deeply about the things that we need transformed and we would submit to Christ today and he would unveil our eyes and we would see him for the truth that he is, and he would set us free. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, if you're someone here watching this today, and you've made this commitment to Jesus for the first time, to have him be your Lord and Savior, there'll be a little box on your screen. If you're watching this through our website, go ahead and just hit that box saying, yes, I made a commitment to follow Jesus. If you're watching this through our Facebook page, you can send a private message to us here at the church, just saying, yes, I've made this commitment today to follow Jesus. If you're already a follower of Jesus, you can simply send a message and say, yes, today I've made a decision. I've made a choice and I've asked Jesus to change some wrong practices and I've asked him to change some wrong thinking I've had about him. Would you do that today so we can pray for you? We love you. And I just want to close with sending you out today with your family with this scripture. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, we love you, and we'll see you next Sunday for Easter.